We come before our God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you have shown us the way. You have provided for us salvation. May we focus upon that light in our lives. Lives that often times seem chaotic. And yet we have the stableness of your word, of your sacraments, of your grace. And may we be fed and nourished by those as we come into your presence this day. Amen. In my preparations for today, two words kept coming back: chaos and stability. We move between those, chaos to stability, and then chaos in our lives. As you come to worship this morning, some of you may feel your life being rather chaotic at the moment. You are experiencing a great deal of stress. Maybe some uncertainty. And somehow you feel like everything is just chaos. For others, you may be here this morning feeling like, well, life's going pretty good. I don't have much to worry about. I don't have many cares. Life is good. And so you find yourself in one of those more stable moments. Our lives, if we really truly look at them, are a picture of chaos and stability. Oftentimes, when things begin to just settle down and everything's going smooth, then another storm appears on the horizon. The Old Testament reading is one of those readings in God's Word in the Old Testament for me that's kind of a neat section. Here we are in 1 Kings and we see the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah has been through much and now he finds himself at a point where all this chaos has led him to a point where he's feeling all alone. Because he had been doing battle with the kings. It's interesting because 1 and 2 Kings help us understand the period of the kings of Israel, and they were oftentimes chaotic, unstable. There was this ongoing struggle between God and his chosen people, a stiff-necked people who desired to have a king like all the other nations. And when God granted them to have kings, starting with King Saul and David and Solomon, those three great kings, soon the nation of Israel fell into disfavor with God. Saul, who was the first king, soon lost his relationship with God. And then David, and we all know the struggle David went through to become king over Israel. And it is David who made Israel at its greatest point in history. And yet, look at what happens to David. And then, of course, there's Solomon, who prayed for wisdom. And yet, as you read his history, you know that for Solomon and the people of Israel, it oftentimes was a chaotic time. That even those who were called by God, even those who knew God's hand in their lives, let power go to their head. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we read about the death of Solomon. And when Solomon dies, then the real chaos sets in. Jeroboam and Rehoboam both desire to be kings. And then the rest of Kings gives us this history that follows Solomon. Often there were periods of stability, and yet it was a wicked stability. And so Elijah enters into this picture when Ahab was king, gains the throne. And Ahab was extremely wicked. And so God sends Elijah the prophet to address his wickedness. God addresses this through a drought in which he provides for his prophet. And then he confronts the prophetesses of Baal, where he does a contest. And Yahweh shows his power. And the prophets of Baal are slaughtered. And then Yahweh sends rain upon the land. Of course, this infuriates Jezebel, who now vows in 1 Kings 19:2 that Elijah should die. So now a price is put on his head. So if we look at the life of Elijah the prophet, it was a life of chaos. He was no stranger to trouble. He was on the run most of the time. And even through the drought, God provided for him. And what do we see here? As all these things have happened to Elijah, he is so filled with the chaos around him, he flees from God to the wilderness, where God provides for him and takes care of him. And then he sends angels twice with food and water to nourish him. And now we come to our text. Here he is on Horeb in a cave. And in the chaos of his life, God speaks to the prophet. I can tell you for myself, it'd be wonderful if I could hear that voice of God sometimes directing me. And I'm sure you might wish that too once in a while. He does provide and he does give us direction, but not always in that voice. God works there in that cave to draw out the prophet, to correct and reassure him, and then to send him back. How does he do that? In the quietness of that cave, he tells Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain, and there he sends him wind and earthquake and fire. And yet God is not in any of these. And then I love it, that whisper. And in that whisper, Elijah is changed. When I think about that text, sometimes it seems like it's in that quiet moment of life where we get those aha moments that this is what we ought to do. Elijah becomes a changed prophet, and we read the rest of what takes place, how then Elisha goes also as a prophet, and we all know what happens to Elijah. We live in a time of great chaos. It certainly gives us a great deal to talk about. It also gives us a license to all kinds of opinions. We have our thoughts about where all of this is heading, and we have our conversations. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing, and lately I've been seeing a lot of articles about the death of Christianity, especially here in America. Christianity as we know it may be on decline and may want us to run to hide in some cave somewhere in the confines of our local congregation. And we sometimes, when you read these articles, get the feeling that, yeah, we could be like where Elijah is because we feel like we're the only ones left. Yeah, Lutherans do that a lot. But reality is, we are not the only ones left. And in the chaos that oftentimes surrounds our lives, we need a cave, a place of choosing. Yes, a place to get alone for that quiet moment with God. Luther sometimes referred to God as the hound of heaven. I love that phrase. God never gives up on us. We sometimes give up on one another. We give up on our faith sometimes. We give up on God, but God never gives up on us. And how many times have you sat in your little place believing you're all alone? God has forgotten you. And there, sitting right next to you, is God. These are chaotic times. And we hear all the opinions, the fodder that goes on in our culture, and thanks to all the talk shows and radio and TV news, we hear so much. I sometimes remember reading A Frog in the Kettle back in the early 90s, and in there Barna talked about there would come a time when we had so much information we could not digest it. I think we're there. I think we form our own opinions. We do a lot of things, and yet where we don't go, like we should go, is to God. And we want God to be at our call and beckon. On Friday, the Supreme Court handed down a monumental decision. It's a pivotal decision. And our response as Christians is important. And as I thought about that, we received a letter from our district, newly elected district president, who wrote these words about how, yes, this is the decision that we have been long waiting for as Christians. But then these words I thought were so appropriate. As Christians, we must remain humble, and we must continue to pray for those who grieve past sins and those who are angry this day. The prophet spoke to a people who did not want to hear. We as Christians need to speak to people who may not want to hear. Our response in this time is critical. We need to deal and not gloat. We need to love. We need to be Christ-centered in our responses. We need to continually pray for all. And those who, yes, may not agree with us, we should be praying for them. This is not a time for us to cheer and gloat and sound our horns. It is a time for us to love and show concern for those around us. Yes, God is in control. Life can be very chaotic, stressful, and yes, confusing. But in that cave, Elijah came to a stable place, to a stable God, who knew Elijah inside and out. There is in each of our lives that stable place. And I was thinking about this because reality is, if you listen to a lot of the music of our day, those songs and poems talk about that stable place. Coming over here this morning, I listened to the song, Fear is a Liar. And as I listened to that, I thought, yeah. So often in our lives, we ignore what God has done for us. We get so wrapped up in our fear. And yet, what is the purpose of Christ's cross? Death and resurrection. What is the power of coming to the Lord's table to receive his body and blood under bread and wine? What is your confidence in Christ, who, yes, overcame so that you might overcome? Yes, we have a God who leads us through chaos to stability. Our stability always remains at the foot of the cross, where there we realize not what we have done, yes, what we have done, but in the wrong way many times, but more importantly, what God has done for us. We have stability. Live in the shadow of that cross. Amen.